Okay, so for today, again, anyone's out there, if you commute yourself, I greatly appreciate it. So today we're on page 74. So yesterday we saw, last thing we discussed was the placement, the proper place for the Shel Rosh. So number one is the furthest forward that the Shel Rosh could be is where the hairline is, where the hair begins to grow. Now, again, as I mentioned yesterday, so that doesn't, we're not talking about, you know, the curl, right? We're not talking about, you know, have the filling over here, you know, like, but rather where the hairline is, okay? Now, the question obviously is, people have receding hairlines, so they're there, you know, what do they do, put it all the way back? No, the answer is where it was. In other words, you can usually tell, believe it or not. There's usually a line, believe it or not. And wherever the hairline was, you can usually tell. So I don't know if I mentioned that yesterday. And it goes till the back. The furthest back it could be is where the soft spot, again, a baby's soft spot is. And again, we basically know where that is. Now, again, as I mentioned yesterday, so let's say when you're talking about, I forgot to bring the tefillin again, that when we're talking about, it's okay, that when the front of the tefillin should not be even anywhere, cannot be lower than the hairline. So in front, that little ledge in front, that what we call the tinctura, as we were talking about yesterday, that has to be behind, at or behind the hairline. And again, the same thing applies to the back of the tefillin. It cannot be further back, even the furthest reach. The back of the tefillin cannot be further back than the soft spot. Okay? And the Mishnah Berurah says a very interesting thing. He says it's better to be further back than further down, right? I remember, I hate to say, you know, people in the old days, they didn't know this halacha, and sometimes, you know, it was a whole big push. I remember when I was younger, when I was around Bar Mitzvah, a little afterwards when I was in high school, that signs up about, you know, don't make, that's when it really started. You know, people, but some people had the tefillin too far down. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, so it's better that it should be further back than further forward because you have some room going back. But you don't have, you know, in the front, you have to be careful. That's why when they adjust the tefillin, so you know it's going to stay there. So you should make sure that whoever is tightening them or is making the knot should make sure that they're fitting properly. In the next halakha, we'll see about the dalet in the back, where that is supposed to go. So again, there's precise placements where the tefillin should go. And then the Chofetz Chaim says at the end of Lamed Gimel, the tefillin amunachim shlobim amkaman, have kemunachim bakisan, a very famous line. Chofetz Chaim says if the tefillin are not in the proper place, it's like they're in the back. Yeah, they're in the wrong place. They're not in the right place. Now, there's also the Be'er Halacha. Yeah, also the Be'er Halacha talks about this. That and they it's talked about a lot. How, like the Chofetz Chaim talks about. I think I mentioned yesterday, but in the Be'er Halacha Yud Gimel. The Chofetz Chaim talks about big tefillin. Because obviously if you have big tefillin, it's going to be hard to have them sit in the right place if they're too big. Same thing applies by the Shel Yatub. But it's very obvious in the Shel Rosh. And so therefore, the Chofetz Chaim says that you shouldn't make them bigger than the four fingers. You know? Four fingers. Now, again, I think I mentioned that when I was a little boy, they didn't have gassos, and everybody had sheep. So either they were really small or really big. I think that was part of the problem with the older generations, the tefillin were like very big. Are they okay?
Yeah, right.
Huh?
Exactly.
Okay, so that's probably why. See, you have like a Shtokel Chabad tefillin. I think that's where they get it, you know, that's probably, they have bigger tefillin usually. Again, there's no, you know, it's personal preference, you know, how big. But believe it or not, the Chofetz Chaim also goes the other way, and he says your tefillin shouldn't be too small either, right? Because if they're too small, so then you'll have a problem. Then you have a problem of that maybe they're not written properly, and they're again because they're small. And I remember this was a problem again when I was a boy. You know, you can always tell the frum men they had big tefillin, but they were big, and the other people had these used to call them bookstore tefillin. They were very little, and I remember a few times Sofrim used to show me that there was a problem because you can't write that small. You know, now believe it or not, it's amazing to me. I don't know what they do if they make the quill sharper or I don't know what it is. But you see, even they have small Sifrei Torah, like they have 12-inch Sifrei Torah. You know, like really, that's Sifrei Torah, so that's, you know, a lot of small writing. But again, it's, your size of your tefillin, again, they shouldn't be too big, they shouldn't be too small, like a Goldilocks type of thing. But again, there's a range. And the range, you know, how it's up to you, how big and how small you want your tefillin. You know, like, I saw people in Eretz Yisrael, they have really small gasses now, right? Really, you know, like, some people are into that. So you don't want to have small tefillin, you know, and they're, I guess, written very well. So, but, that's what we're up to now. So that's the halacha by the Shel Rosh. Now again, that is the Shel Rosh where the bias, right, the box of the Shel Rosh goes, right? Now, that brings us to Yud. Tzarech she'yeh kesher me'achorei ha'rosh l'mala ba'oref. Now this is also very important. This is, I think, something that was also messed up. Not that I took like a poll, but as we know, there's a knot. We'll talk about the knot on the Shel Rosh. So that knot should be me'achorei rosh lemala. Should be in the back of the head, high up ba'orif, high up on the neck. And so the Mishnah Brura says, "Sof ha'gogol shug neged upon him," so that the dalet is, if you go through the face, right, it's parallel to the face. So it's very, and he says, and not low, but they'll be parallel to the throat. And so then he says again, and this is on page 76 on the top line of Mishnah Brura, "Tov she'yeh munach." Ikar hakesher lamala minaguma, right? So there's an indentation, right? Where in between, like there's two tendons or something. It shouldn't be in there. It should be higher up, right where the bone begins to come down. That's where the top of the dalad should be. Ve'al kopanim yeshizar shlo yeh afilu mixas hakesher munach. But at least it should be, right, so in the Shel Rosh we have a range, so how about the dalet? So again, we're saying the top part of the dalet, the flat part of the dalet, should be lying at the at where the skull bone comes out, in the back. But it could go down till anywhere, as long as there's hair. Again, once it's lower than that, even a part of the dalet, if it's in an area where there's no hair, now again, if I don't know, people lose their hair in the back, I don't know, I guess it's possible. Anything's possible. So then, you know, again, wherever the hair would naturally be. But again, if it's too light, low down, and it's the dalad, again, we're talking about the back of the tefillin, shaped like a dalad, we'll talk about that. So it should be preferably the flat part of the dalet, the top of the dalet, should be by the bone, where the bone starts coming down, lying there, and at least somewhere around there where there is hair. And then the Chofetz Chaim says it has to be tightened very well, so it stays in place and everything doesn't go flopping all over the place, as we all know. Okay, back upstairs. Shetei be'emsak shetei. Tzarech lechaven aktsitza. Next page 76. Shetei be'emsa k'dei shetia keneged b'nayinayim. And again, the knot has to be in a way that it's in the middle, right? Not on one side of the neck or one other side of the neck or the bone. So again, it's parallel to the eyes, right? This gives us an idea. Beinei necha, again, Rabbi Arlosky talked about that. But again, at least the knot in the back is parallel to the in between the eyes. It's very interesting. V'gam kesher yeh b'emsar oref v'lo yatam l'kankan. Right. V'tzark shi ha'mokam shi ha'kesher nira ke'ein dalad l'tzad chutz. And it has to look like a dalad, right? We all know that on tefillin we have a shin, or two shins, on the shorosh, and we have a dalad on the knot, the back of the shorosh, and a yud on the shalyad, right, on the which we discussed before. And that spells out Shakai, right, the name of Hashem. Right, so the name of Hashem literally is on us. So again, so that dalad, that knot, I should say, the knot of the shorosh should be faced, look like a dalad, so that when somebody looks at it from the outside, not you, but somebody looks at you and they see you in the back, again, we're not talking about if your towels is over your head, all that, right, leave that, right? That it should look like a dalet to them. Now, see, this gets very interesting. Before we go on to the Ramah, this gets very interesting because if you look at your knot, well, it depends. It might look. There's two possibilities. It might look like a dalet. Shape. I mean, as much as you can make it look like a dalet, right? That looks like a dalet, right? I mean, as much as you can make a strap look like a dalet, right? But believe it or not, in the old, and I think some people still have it, they have what's called a double dalet. And basically what it is a square knot. It's what they call a double dalet. Now it's very interesting, again, when I became Bar Mitzvah, there was a sofer even told me this. When I was in Israel, said the soferim tried to get people to switch from the double dalet to single dalet. I think in Europe it was more common, the double dalet. Now the double dalet, again, looks like a square knot. It looks like a square. So they used to call it double dalet because if you put two dalets, it's a square. But if you look at the Ber Hetev, Yud Ches, he says, it's supposed to look like a dalet from the outside. Udolo kamosho noagim ksas la'asos shnei dalatsim mishnei tzdodim. So he brings the mug in Avram and says, this is not like those who make a double dalet. Make a double dalet. And the Aruch HaShulchan also says a similar idea, that not like people who made a double dalet. So again, I don't know if that is the reason the Chofetz Chaim does not mention this. Anti-double dalet. The Ber Hetev does, the Aruch HaShulchan does. Sometimes, a lot of times we say if the Chofetz Chaim does not mention something, especially something that's mentioned in the Ber Hetev, so that could be a proof that he didn't hold of it necessarily. Doesn't mean he didn't hold of a single dalet. Like, I don't know what the Chofetz Chaim did. But my sense is that in Europe it was pretty common to have this double dalet. And you see it. So, again, so it's very interesting, this double dalet. Again, I know a lot of people switched in the 70s, in the 80s, because the Sofrim tried to push that. But again, we'll see more about that. But anyways, that's the whole controversy, if you want to call it, of the single dalet and the double dalet. Okay, Yishkoach Rabosai.